Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We welcome our new audience friends listening on KMST in Rollo. Welcome. One of Missouri's most celebrated assets is its system of state parks and historic sites. Now, one century old, the system is ranked among the very best in the country. If you have not made vacation or weekend getaway plans yet, you might want to consider our state parks. With us to talk about why they're worth considering, University of Missouri Professor Susan Flauter is a board member and former president of the Missouri Parks Association. She is also editor of Missouri State Parks and Historic Sites, Exploring Our Legacy, second edition. David Kelly is the deputy director of operations for Missouri State Parks. Steve Nagel is board president of the Missouri Parks Association. Thanks all so much for being with us. This is a great time to be talking about our parks. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you all. Steve, let me begin with you. There seems to be a little confusion as to where we really rank among the 50 states with our state parks. Where are we?
We've always been in the top four for a number of years now, rated the top four and the number one trail state. And we're really proud of that legacy. And as you know, our state parks are free for visitors. There's no entrance fee. They've been running strong for a long time. But our organization, Missouri Park Association, was founded in 1982 because of a financial crisis that state parks was facing. And so we came together back in 1982 with the idea of promoting our state parks, being a watchdog for our state parks, being advocates for our state parks. And we've been going strong with 3,000 members. It's a statewide citizen organization, nonprofit. And Dr. Flauter, who's on the line, is one of the founders of the Missouri Parks Association.
Susan, what makes our parks so special?
I think the mission that we have, which emphasizes both cultural and natural resources and gives equal play to both, the fact that we're modeled on the national park system with historic sites as well as state parks part of the system, and also, of course, providing recreation that is appropriate to preservation of cultural and natural resources. But the other thing is really strong citizen support, the consistent funding of the parks and soil sales tax, which is not really adequate funding, but it's consistent, and that counts for a lot. And this quality of management over the years, really strong management and staff of state parks for many years.
David Kelly, and how does any piece of real estate qualify to become a state park?
It varies, you know, over the years. We have a kind of a comprehensive plan and a thing we call missing masterpieces, where we look at areas of the state that aren't represented in the park system. So that just doesn't happen. We actually get offered a lot of property and have over the years that we don't feel that meet the high criteria of becoming a state park or state historic site. But so we have a kind of a long range comprehensive plan that we look at for areas that maybe are missing in the state park system. We have currently 91 state parks and historic sites, and divided out throughout the state, and they give a good, as Susan said, you know, a good comprehensive look at what the best examples of Missouri has to offer on the natural side and the cultural side. And of course, you know, the third component of our mission is providing recreation opportunity consistent with preserving and protecting those natural and cultural features.
Steve Nagel, talk to me a little bit, if you would, about the range of state parks, what we have. They're not all the same by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, each state park has its own unique qualities in terms of natural resources, cultural resources, recreational opportunities. And I just heard on the radio the other day there's going to be 37 million people out on the road over the weekend. Of course, it's Monday already.
Yeah, sure.
But people are traveling, you know, going to different places for vacation opportunities for a nice long weekend. And I'd like to point out that just right here in the St. Louis region, we have over 12 state parks and historic sites, all within an hour or less driving range. And they offer, you know, there's water recreation, there's cabins, there's camping, so many other opportunities, canoeing, kayaking, hiking, you know, birding, and also and campgrounds that can be range from primitive to you know, hookups. And so I would encourage everybody just in the St. Louis region to not go much farther than your own backyard to enjoy a wide range of opportunities in our state parks.
How many do we have? I've seen a couple of figures. I've seen 88 and 93, I think, is the other number.
We're right now, if you look at the book just published by Missouri Life, we're up to 91. The book that Susan Flotter edited, Missouri State Parks and Historic Sites, you know, the Exploring the Legacy, there are 88 parks in there. And then in this this past year, there were a little controversy behind the addition of state parks, so there's still in a bit of a flux, but four more were added. And the idea there is, you know, when we have an opportunity to fill the gap in regions in terms of getting parks in places where we need to have parks for citizen access, you know, it's a good thing. So we're thinking maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, any of that controversy will be laid to rest and people will be glad the parks are there.
By the way, you mentioned the book that Susan edited. That's a marvelous job. I commend Susan for your role in that, but the wonderful photographs, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous publication. So congratulations.
There's a big story behind publishing this book that Susan may or may not want to go into, but it was a monumental task. And it's the book is for sale in all our state parks, a few bookstores, backpack stores like that. And Susan might want to weigh in on that.
Okay, Susan, before you do, I'll just advise people that it only weighs about 25 pounds. it's a big book and a lot of content, but it's also a heavy book in more ways than one.
Table book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. If you want to add to what Steve has said, go ahead.
Well, the first edition of the book, we started working on the very fall that the Missouri Parks Association was organized back in 1982. Our thought was to educate the public and office holders, legislators, and others to appreciate the values at stake in our state park system so that they could be brought to provide adequate funding for the system. That was a time in the early 80s when money supporting state parks was less than half of what it had been in the late 1970s. And there were two items in the legislative session that next spring, a bond issue and a parks and soil sales tax, both of which ultimately passed and provided funding for state parks, in addition to the general revenue that they had. It turned out that the book did not get published before the citizens had to vote on the tax. It actually got published in 1992, but the tax was approved very narrowly in 1984 and began being collected in 85. It's been renewed six times since then, each time by a greater majority than the time previous. This last November, it won more than 80% of the entire votes of people who voted in the presidential election. And every single county in the state gave it a majority vote.
I want to talk more about funding in a moment, but let me turn to David Kelly here. This is a two-way street, isn't it? Because local economies where the parks are located benefit to a very large degree, don't they, by these properties?
Yeah, very much so. Obviously, you think about people that go out to a park like Bennett Spring or Merrimack and buying supplies and, you know, on a camping trip and buying a camper and tents and all this stuff. We have an economic impact, you know, study that puts the economic impact of the park system, you know, well over $800 million a year. So it is a very good investment for, as Susan said, for we don't really receive general revenue. The Parks and Soil sales tax makes up about 75% of our funding, and the rest of the funding come from things like camping fees and concession fees. So it averages about the Parks and Soil sales tax about $7 per Missourian, which is a very low cost. If you consider Missouri is only one of eight state park systems that does not charge an entrance fee. In other states, you can pay $7 just to go in one park. So it's actually a very a good value for the citizens of Missouri and a lot of visitors that come from other states.
I'd like to add to what David just said.
Sure.
To sort of underscore the economic impact to local communities and statewide. The Missouri, the expenditures in our Missouri state parks support over 14,500 different jobs around the state.
Mm. Wow. Well, that speaks for itself,
yeah.
Needless to say. Anything you want to add to that, Susan?
Well, although there's a tremendous advantage, it's been estimated that for every dollar the state invests, $26 is returned mostly to local and regional economies in the form of taxes, sales, multipliers in the local economies. But we did lose general revenue back in 1990 after the second passage of the tax, and now the park system is entirely dependent for general operations on the Parks and Soil sales tax, which was originally intended to provide for facilities and you know, new buildings, infrastructure rehabilitation, and the like.
Well, you know, when you talk about what the return is on the dollar, it's easy to see why you get an 80% positive vote. Those numbers speak for themselves.
I don't know if there have been any tax renewals or tax proposals that could get that kind of support. You know, every county in the state voted in favor of that. It's only one-tenth of a penny, but it really adds up to about $90 million a year.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of money, but probably not enough. Yeah. We'll have to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about the Missouri State Park System. With me in studio is Steve Nagel, board president of the Missouri Parks Association. Joining us by phone is Susan Flauter, board member and former president of the Missouri Parks Association. Also with us is David Kelly, the Deputy Director of Operations for Missouri State Parks. If you'd like to get into the conversation and tell us about your experiences with the parks, what you like, and if you want to tell us if there's something you don't like, we'll listen to that as well. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you prefer, send us a tweet at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. As we continue our conversation about the state park system here in Missouri, I am talking with David Kelly and Susan Flauter. They are joining us by phone. Susan is a board member and former president of the Missouri Parks Association. David Kelly, deputy director of operations for Missouri State Parks. And Steve Nagel is here in studio. He's board president of the Missouri Parks Association. David, let me come very, very quickly to you. We're getting some calls, and I want to take them. But you're basically under new management down there where you are. What's on the drawing board? What can we anticipate with the new man at the top?
The new man at the top is Ben Ellis. He's the former Alaska State Park Director. He was the State Park Director up there for about 6 years. He's been on the job since June 15th. And the new Deputy Director is Mike Sutherland. Mike's actually a former board member of Missouri Park Association. He's also a former legislator. I've known Mike several years. And I'm very excited about the new management team. We're actually in the process of getting around visiting as many state parks and historic sites as we can to get Ben familiar with Missouri a little bit. So I'm pretty excited to have them on board and us working together and kind of learning a little bit more about each other, but also showing them what Missouri has to offer.
Well, that's a full-time job in itself, visiting all those parks. That's going to take a little time. But what a pleasant way to spend the summer. Susan, let me come back to you, Susan. We're talking about revenues raised and revenues that are generated by these parks. My impression is, and I'm not solid on all the details, but my recollection is the state legislature has not been particularly friendly to the park system when it comes to financing. Am I off base on that, or has that been an issue?
Well, just in recent years, we've had a problem. In most years, they've been just fine, except that Missouri is perennially underfunded, all agencies of state government. And Parks and Soils the state parks has benefited greatly from the sales tax because it has given us a good base of funding. But in recent years, there have been some legislators, especially from the Ozarks, who have been irritated by the previous governor and his effort to develop new parks using other money, non-state appropriated money for the new parks. And they've been trying to teach parks a lesson, or maybe teach the governor a lesson, but the governor's, you know, it's a different governor now, so they shouldn't be doing it this year. But there were a dozen bills that would have hobbled the parks last year, and in this session that just ended this past May, there were two dozen bills that we had to try to ward off. One of them passed, and the others were either prevented from coming to a vote by a lot of legislative infighting on issues having nothing to do with parks, or stalled in some cases with the help of friendly legislators. All legislators would say that they love state parks. There isn't a single one who doesn't say that they love state parks. But nevertheless, when they get irritated with someone like the previous governor, they try to take it out on parks. And several years ago, they managed to strike more than $55 million that should have gone to parks, you know, primarily in a big bond issue that comes around once every quarter century or so. And it's going to be a long time before we recover from that loss of funding.
We'd like to get to the point where back to that era where legislators say, we love our state parks. What can we do to help rather than what can we do to hurt our state parks? And I don't know, it's kind of a political statement, but it wouldn't it be nice to have support and legislators that say, and many of them do, what can we do to help? But we'd like to get back to that point.
Like so many things, they become politicized. And I guess it was the flap over the Echo Bluff State Park that triggered a lot of this.
That triggered it, and then the acquisition of new parkland last December.
Okay. Well, stay tuned, as they say. And the state now is in a financial bind, of course, so that's going to have an impact, I would think, also. Let's go to the listeners. I'll begin with an email, however, because this is very timely. And David, I'll send this question your way. Madonna writes, can either of your guests describe any special events planned around the eclipse, on or about or on the day of the eclipse? David, do you have any sense of what might be going on?
Yeah, we have actually they can go to our main state park homepage, moststateparks.com, and we've got a link on the main homepage for eclipse information and activities. We have a big event at the state capitol in Jefferson City. We have the South on booked. We're working with the Jefferson City Convention and Visitors Bureau. Actually, NASA's TV show, Jeff City, is going to be one of the spots that they've selected to be on site during the eclipse. And so we're expecting, a big crowds and a big event on the South Lawn of the Capitol. We have several other state parks and historic sites are doing interpretive programming as part of it. We're actually hosting, we think the only, bike ride associated with the eclipse on the Katy Trail, from Roachport to Jeff City. That section of the Katy will actually run kind of parallel to the eclipse, totality. So, that ride, we're taking 500 people on that. That filled up very quickly, as you can anticipate. We're monitoring our campgrounds that are within the area totality. They're pretty much all full. We've actually got quite a bit of space in parks that are outside totality, but we've got a lot of stuff going on. I know a lot of other communities have stuff going on too, but the best information probably is just to go to our website, moststateparks.com, and click on that eclipse link.
You know, you say a lot of communities are getting excited. I understand they're expecting 40,000 people in Perryville, which is about five times the population of that community, as I understand. People are really getting excited about this eclipse.
Yes, they are. It's I know St. Joe, Missouri, is going to block. I think they reserved the airport at St. Joseph, Missouri, and they're doing a big event in St. Joseph. I know Columbia is doing big events kind of all along totality, which pretty much runs from St. Joseph, Missouri, across the state down towards Perryville.
Let's get some listeners into the conversation. We'll begin with Kelly calling from St. Louis. Kelly, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Lisa, I was a child of the 60s and 70s, and we grew up camping every year. And it was just a wonderful experience. These days I'm in a wheelchair, and it's difficult for me to get out. Are there plans in the future for changes, so I can get back out there?
For changes, did you say?
Yes, so that people, it's a little more accessible to get out in the nature.
Sure.
Yeah, actually, let me go ahead and take that.
Go ahead, David, it's for us.
Yeah, there's a couple, obviously, all of our campgrounds have accessible campsites. All of our lodging facilities are accessible. So if you have a way to get to the parks, we have those available, all of our parks. The other thing that we're partnering with the Missouri Parks Association on is a kind of a seniors in parks program, where we're actually taking folks out in state parks, folks that might not have an opportunity to get out. We're doing a few things. They've actually bought a tram for us, which is fully accessible. And we take folks like on a day trip on the Katy Trail, and we take them to historic sites. So there are more and more opportunities, thanks to the Parks Association, to get folks that might normally not have an opportunity to get out to state parks and historic sites to get out. And again, our website's the best place to find that information at moststateparks.com.
We have an email here with a question related: do Missouri parks have ADA cabins, Americans with Disability Act cabins?
Yeah, all of our lodging units have accessibility cabins and or lodges or motel all have accessible rooms. So every state park that we have a certain percentage set aside that meet the requirements of ADA.
Good. All right. Let's go back and we'll go to the phone this time to, let's see, we'll bring in Mike calling from University City. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your program. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, is Department of Conservation separate from you or is it part of you? And the reason for my bringing that up is my wife and I enjoy fishing, and particularly going out to the bush wildlife conservation area. The problem is that there are no trash cans around, and so when you're around a variety of different lakes out there, even though it's several lakes have it posted to take your trash with you, there's a lot of trash always laying around the edge of the lake where people get off the boats and things, and a lot of it ends up in the water, and I guess I'm a little concerned about that to the point where, you know, I thought I'd bring it up.
Thank you. I guess, Dennis or David, that would go back to you. Maybe you can address the overall issue of maintenance.
And what he's asked, Conservation Department is a separate department. Missouri State Parks are part of the Department of Natural Resources. Bush Wildlife Area he's talking about is managed by the Department of Conservation. So I would, you know, refer that particular concern to either the manager there at Bush Wildlife or the Department of Conservation. In state parks, we've got a couple parks that we're trying carry in, carry out. Actually, Don Robinson State Park, which is a new state park we just opened in Jefferson County, is one of our first parks. We're actually trying that. But most of our state parks and historic sites have trash cans and dumpsters in campgrounds and in parks.
I just my experience in visiting many of our state parks is that trash doesn't seem to be too much of a problem. They're so well maintained. And I'd like to put in a plug for the Missouri Stream Teams. There's, if you can believe this, there's over 5,000 stream teams in the state of Missouri. We're sort of we lead in that that legacy of river cleanups. So there, many of our state parks have rivers and creeks going through, and I know the stream teams are very active, just about every weekend in some park, helping to pick up any tires or trash. So our parks are pretty pristine.
You mentioned streams and all the wonderful attributes of these sites. We have a tweet here from Kelly who says, what are the best campgrounds in the state park system? Always looking for a spot that combines water, shade, and good facilities. Anybody want to weigh in on that? Is there a best?
I get asked that question all the time, and it varies depending on what your interest level are. We've got everything from a full hookup site for RVs to a backcountry campsite off a trail. A recent trend, and you see it as Johnson Shut-Ins and at Echo Bluff, is we've actually gone in and put in what we call walk-in campsites, which are kind of a higher quality tent camping experience. And I would promote both of those for her if that's what she's looking for, because both of those parks have good access to water. But these sites, actually, you kind of walk back on a trail. And at Echo Bluff, we've got 12 very nice campsites targeted towards tent campers, because a lot of times tent campers don't want to be in a regular campground with RVs. So this gives them out in the woods, get them away from everybody else. It actually has a deck platform that you can either put your tent on or you can put your tent on the ground. These have been very, very popular, kind of a new addition to the state park system.
Susan, something for everybody, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah, let me take another phone call here from Fred in Glendale. Fred, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Listen, I was born in 1937, and I want to tell you something. Living here in the St. Louis area, our little family of three thoroughly enjoyed Merrimack State Park, camping and fishing all through the 40s and into the early 50s. And I was just curious, when was Merrimack State Park founded?
Uh-huh. Does anybody have the answer to that question?
Early on, I bet you David or Susan know.
Susan?
Yeah. It was one of the original ones.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I remember whether it was in the first group that were purchased in the 20s or whether... But I would guess that it went back to the late 20s.
I think I remember reading that it was in the 20s because the Houston Tavern... was our the first acquisition to state parks, and state parks began in 1917, and the Houston Tavern was purchased, I think, in 1924, right, Susan? And then
and then
Merrimack State Park came in soon after.
What a wonderful place.
Yeah, Fred, thank you for the call. Speaking of taverns, is there a policy with regard to alcohol and alcohol use consumption in parks?
Yeah, we have our only policy is we limit alcohol on beaches, and we limit alcohol in parking lots. And other than that, at picnic areas, campsites, we actually, there are several of our concessionaires that sell alcohol, like at the lodges or the dining lodges. So the really only place that's restricted are beaches and parking lots.
Steve, a question here for you, and perhaps Susan would like to weigh in. And going through the book that Susan edited there, that wonderful book, I came across the Confederate Memorial State Historic Site.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught my eye because of what's been going on here in the Forest Park with regard to the monument, and also in several other states. There's a lot of opposition to things Confederate, if you will. Have you gotten any heat at all about this?
Well, I haven't heard through Missouri Parks Association that we've gotten any heat from the Confederate Memorial. Actually, I've seen it. It's pretty interesting. Even the outlaw Quantrell, I think, is buried there. At least his tombstone's
really?
There. So it's pretty interesting. But I haven't really weighed in too much on the monument issue. I'm a born and bred Yankee. But I respect everybody's viewpoint, and I'm not personally in favor of just tearing down monuments as part of our history.
I guess the point is, Susan or David, have you heard anybody complaining about this particular site?
We have not. The Confederate Memorial is actually a Confederate, it was an old Confederate home where Confederate Civil War soldiers actually lived out their life, and many of those folks are buried there. So I haven't heard any, you know, controversy or any concerns about that site at this point.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Let's hope that things stay quiet in that regard. Let's bring in a call here from Stephanie calling from St. Louis. Stephanie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. Yes, I was wondering what your panel's opinion is of it's actually a county park with Creve Coeur Park, because I heard there's developers trying to take 40 acres of that park to put in an ice hockey rink that would include 1,500 parking spots. And I'm just wondering what protections we have for our park so developers can't do that, and where you stand on this issue of this ice arena.
Thanks for the call. It's a little bit off point, but Steve, you look like you might want to respond to that.
Well, I do know that the Regional Open Space Council has been involved in that controversial park, but that park development that's really more of a county issue, and so we really don't weigh in on the county issues. But there is the Open Space Council and other concerns out by Creve Coeur Lake that have been trying to address the idea of losing parklands. Of course, in terms of state parks, we never want to lose parklands, to private development. And we've had some pressures to do that from time to time. And as advocates for our state parks, we believe in keeping our state parks and not privatizing the parklands. But the issue of the Creve Coeur Lake development is really a county issue at this point.
Thank you for the call. Let's take in Dennis's call. He's calling from Overland. Dennis, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I really do appreciate the battle with trying to do funding. But I've always kind of felt like the conservation tax, I would have liked to have seen it used in the city areas as well. And because a lot of the funding comes from the city, as with so many things in the state. But there's this battle between city and rural gets in the way. But having listened to you guys after I got on the phone and realized the problems that you're facing, I sympathize. I just wish we would all work together rather than at cross purposes. So good luck to you all.
Thank you.
And have a happy 4th of July.
Dennis, thank you for the call. We have an email here from Richard who writes, what happened to Markham Springs? Anybody have an answer to that question?
To which spring?
Markham, M-A-R-K-H-A-M, I believe. Markham Springs.
I don't know about it.
I don't know.
Not in state parks, I don't believe.
Well, Richard, sorry that we can't help you out there, but thanks for listening in any case. We have a number of complimentary communications here, and I'm just trying to figure out this. Jim Donahue tweets, Missouri parks are an excellent resource, makes everyone feel welcome. Other states are too expensive for non-wealthy to enjoy great parks and program. That's got to be a key, Steve, to the success of the parks.
Oh, it is. And, you know, when we listen to the news about New Jersey state parks and, the problems with Illinois state parks, we are so fortunate. And that's, I think, the Missouri Parks Association is really proud to be a sort of a force behind supporting our state parks. I think all state parks need citizen groups to support and advocate for the park system. And so we are very fortunate. And we've been around since 1917. And I would encourage people who love to go to our state parks, if you haven't already, to pick up your Centennial Passport book, which will enable you to get a stamp for each state park that you attend. And actually, it's a lot of fun. I've got so many friends that have these passport books almost filled out already with all almost 90 parks. I don't know how they do it, but they're out there every weekend getting their passports stamped.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it at that. I'm afraid our time has expired. I want to thank you all so much for telling us about these wonderful resources we have here. Susan Flaughter joined us by phone, as did David Kelly, and Steve Nagel here with me in studio. Thank you so much. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.